Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with us, whether you're listening on the radio, online, or on demand. I'm grateful you're here. On the agenda today, we'll continue our full bio series with Peter Bergen, author of The Rise and Fall of Osama bin Laden, which Kirkus called essential reading. Today, we'll learn about the beginning of bin Laden's relationship with the Taliban. Plus, we'll hear about Gina Bennett, the first U.S. intelligence officer to recognize bin Laden as a lethal threat. And we'll hear Bergen's own personal experience meeting bin Laden in the 1990s. And in light of the Supreme Court's decision to let stand Texas's new abortion law, we'll speak with researcher Dr. Diana Foster Green, who spent a decade studying the effects of access to abortion for her book called The Turnaway Study. That is all in the way, so let's get this started. This week, the week before the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks, we're having conversations here on All of It around the anniversary through music, poetry, media, and today, art. Artist Brenda Berkman is also a retired FDNY captain. Let that sink in for a minute, considering men outnumber women in the FDNY by 3-1. Brenda's actually the reason women can serve in the FDNY at all. In 1982, she filed and won a lawsuit against the fire department over part of the entrance exam, and with 40 other women, became among the first women to ever serve in the department. Her second act in life has been as sort of a visual historian. Over her art career, she's documented, mostly in black and white drawings, how the city has changed in the wake of the events of September 11, 2001, from the moments before the planes hit to that beam of light familiar to New Yorkers today that rises above the skyline. Later this week, she'll show her work at St. Olaf College in Minnesota in an exhibition called Altered Skyline, Brenda Berkman's 36 Views of One World Trade Center. And those works, those 36 works, will be part of the 9/11 Museum's permanent collection. I'm pleased to welcome artist, first responder, and former FDNY captain Brenda Berkman to the show. Captain, welcome.
Allison, great to be here, and what a generous introduction. But I have to just say one thing. Men outnumber women in the New York City Fire Department today in 2021 by 1,000 to 1. So there are 1% women in the New York City Fire Department. And that's way more than 20 years after I won my lawsuit in 1982. But let's talk about art.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at my watch. It's 2021, huh? With that statistic. Wow.
Yeah.
I want to talk about part of your story, because you were actually in law school before becoming a firefighter. Why did you want to join the department?
Well, I had always wanted to serve my community. My parents and my teachers had really instilled in me as a kid, you know, the desire to make the world a better place. And I was a little tomboy. That's what girls were called in those days, who liked physical activity. I liked sports, but this was all pre-Title IX. And I wanted to combine those two things. I wanted to combine my brain and my physical abilities to serve my community. And who's better liked than firefighters? Really, we come in the middle of the night in all kinds of weather and every neighborhood, and people respect what we do, they admire what we do, and we're able to help them whenever they call.
Everyone old enough remembers where they were when they found out about the planes that hit the towers. And you were a firefighter at the time, but you were off duty that day. What did your morning look like, and then what did your day turn into?
So I got up at, you know, it was election day, right? So primary day, and I got up. I was going to go work in a primary campaign. And I was having my second cup of coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning when my telephone rang, and it was a friend of mine from Kentucky saying, turn on your television. People may recall that the first tower was hit at 8:46. I had no inkling what was going on, but when I turned on the television, I immediately thought terrorism, because I saw the amount of fire that was in that building. and I knew it couldn't have been an accident. And then I started to go towards headquarters, but while I was out on the street, I discovered that second plane had hit the South Tower at 9:03, and then, of course, everybody was confirming that it had to be terrorism. And I ran to a nearby firehouse instead, and a whole group of us who were off duty made our way over to Manhattan. And when we got there to Manhattan, the second tower had just fallen. The South Tower had already fallen, and then just as we got to the Manhattan side, the North Tower fell, and we were in this huge dust cloud with no equipment. All the fire trucks and the equipment had already been sent to Manhattan, and the off-duty folks really had nothing with them to speak of. We had no breathing apparatus or radios to communicate with. And there we were looking at not only the total incineration of the two towers, but all the smaller surrounding buildings, including 7 World Trade Center, which was 47 stories high and on fire from top to bottom. So it was a really difficult day. It was the kind of day where a lot of senior people like myself, I had almost 20 years on the job, we looked at this worse than anything we could have ever possibly imagined, or certainly nothing like we'd ever been to. And a lot of us thought, you know, we could die today.
My guess is Brenda.
But we started looking for people. I had some firefighters with me who were also off duty. They had no equipment. We started looking for anybody who might be alive to be able to get them, you know, to the hospital, get them out of the rubble. It was an incredibly difficult day. And unfortunately, Allison, you know, you may also recall that if you didn't walk out of the Trade Center on 9/11, it was very unlikely that you survived the Trade Center. So a few people were rescued after the towers collapsed, and after 7 collapsed at 5:20 in the afternoon, which came down, you know, right on top of the area that we were looking in. So we were running down the street as well. Yeah, it was bad. And then it went on, you know, for many weeks and months, 10 months we were looking for, first for people and then for remains.
Brenda, when and why did you turn to art as a form of expression?
I'd always wanted to do something creative. You know, when you're a firefighter, you spend a lot of time breaking things. Even as a kid, I'd wanted to do something creative. But in my family, you know, you got a profession, you got a job. Maybe you were a teacher if you were a girl, you know, in those days. And I was really focused on employment and on a job and doing something valuable with my job. And then when I retired from the fire department 5 years after 9/11, I thought, you know, this is my chance. I don't know anything about art. I know nothing about art, and I don't know if I'm going to be any good at drawing or whatever having to do with art, but I'll give it a shot. I'll see what I can do. And I found the Art Students League, which is such a joke because practically every artist in the United States has cycled through the Art Students League in New York at some point in their career. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear George O'Keefe or Louise Bourgeois, or, you know, you name the artist, and that artist has gone through the Art Students League. And I fell in love with printmaking. And, of course, I had to do the most complicated process, which is stone lithography, and involves, you know, these big stones and heavy stones, and you're grinding them, and then you're drawing out and processing and printing them. And I loved it. I not only loved making the image, I loved learning the process and figuring out, how do I do this? You know, how do I control the medium? And then for 10 years, I did nothing that had anything to do with 9/11.
Interesting.
At least not obviously. And for the 10th anniversary, I decided to do this self-portrait of myself, just in civilian clothes, but with my hands over my head. I'm all, like, bent over, like something's falling on top of me. And that was really, you know, talking about not only the day of 9/11 and how so many people, including myself, were, you know, in imminent threat of being crushed by stuff, but also like the psychic damage to people that, you know, really caused them to be bent over and injured. And then I gave that print to 12 other artists, and they all worked on top of it to express their feelings about 9/11 and the 10 years since 9/11. That was the first time I did anything having to do with 9/11. But for the 15th anniversary, I had been going down to the Trade Center area for many years, really since 2006, as a volunteer tour guide for the 9/11 Tribute Museum, and leading people around the memorial, telling them not only about the memorial, but also about the events of 9/11 and my personal connection to 9/11. And I'm watching number one World Trade Center start to rise. Mm-hmm. And it gave me, you know, such inspiration and hope for the rebound of Lower Manhattan, the rebuilding of New York, the way the people are resilient, you know, and they are rebuilding their lives now, even after this terrible trauma, this terrible tragedy. And I wanted that. I wanted to document the rebuilding. This is all in a history of printmaking. If you look at the book of that series that I just had published, there's an essay in it that talks about how my prints are in a history of other printmakers like Hiroshige and Hokusai and Henri Rivière, who's French and did 36 views of the Eiffel Tower. Mm-hmm. So three years, all wow. This drawing, printing, I finished.
My guest is Brenda Berkman, artist, 9/11 first responder, and former FDNY captain. We are talking about her work. You know, if you go to your website of your verticals, there's one that says, all art is political. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I think that artists, you know, they're expressing their feelings and their opinions about things. I mean, if they're just, you know, doing stuff, pretty stuff, that's nice. But everything that you do in life, you know, becomes part of your art in a way. And for me, a lot of things, you know, in my life have revolved around the way that women have been treated as second-class citizens and denied opportunities, and other groups of people as well, LGBTQ and also people of color, religious minorities, all different kinds of people. And, you know, I want to express both the good and the bad about you know, our society. And so I've got some things that I've done where it shows the Statue of Liberty blindfolded, you know, mm-hmm. Looking down at a woman in a burqa with a child next to her. I did that long before we had the situation with Afghanistan now. But, you know, a lot of stuff, some things about our former president, you know, just a lot of things where I express my opinion about what's going on in our world.
You know, there's this recurring figure in some of your work, and you said they were self-portraits. So I'm wondering, we talked about all art is political. What part of your art is very, very personal to you?
I think it's all very personal to me. I mean, I don't want to insult other artists, but I don't spend a whole lot of time drawing cats. I do some funny things. I do some silly things too, but I really want my art to be an expression of myself and my thinking and people, and for people to recognize that. So, you know, there's lots of things on there that I call self-portraits, which people look at and go, well, that's a sea urchin. Why is a spiny creature your self-portrait? Because a lot of people regard me as kind of prickly, But in fact, you know, I have this soft little mushy inside, which my real friends know that I, you know, I'm easily moved. And so everything that I do, I feel like I'm expressing some part of me.
How has it been for you, for Brenda, the artist, to draw from your experiences of that day of 9/11, your experiences as a firefighter, and has that artist lens changed with your relationship with those really intense memories?
I think anybody with the passage of time starts to get a different perspective on events in their past. And, you know, when I first started doing tours of the Memorial Plaza, I think I cried for the first 100 tours. And I never knew exactly when that was going to happen. You know, I would just be going along thinking, okay, everything's, you know, pretty smooth. And then all of a sudden, some memory would hit me as I was talking, and I'd get emotional about it. You know, it doesn't happen so frequently anymore. I think that people's feelings about stuff, you know, whether it's the loss of a parent or whether it's, you know, trauma like 9/11, other things come up during the course of your life. And so, you know, you're not thinking about 9/11 all the time. Anniversaries like the one on Saturday, of course, mm-hmm. a lot of us are thinking a lot about it. But we're also thinking about the pandemic, you know, and the people that we know that we've lost to the pandemic, and the terrible things that first responders and essential workers went through and are still going through. So, you know, there's other things that you start thinking about as well. And you try and put it in context, you know.
What are you working on now? I'm curious what is inspiring you now to create.
So, well, the Art Students League shut down for like a year, and that was hard. It was hard to do printmaking. I mean, my particular kind of printmaking requires a big press and all these heavy stones and a grinding table and all this. And then I thought about doing some other art, but I was really busy with trying to get the first monument to real women in Central Park, the Women's Rights Pioneers Monument, honoring Sojourner Truth and Elizabeth K. Stanton mm-hmm. and Susan B. Anthony. So I had a lot going on, and I didn't do any art for a year. And then I came back, and I really wanted to do something expressing my feelings about the pandemic. So I'm making this teeny tiny print with this little pair of eyes peering out of a cave like thing, and wondering, you know, should I come out or should I stay in for now? and that's kind of, you know, but there's green outside, so it's very tempting to go outside and outside the cave. So, you know, you'll see it, Allison. You can come back in a few weeks. I'm still working on it, and eventually I'll get it up on my website, and people can give me their opinions about my pandemic print.
I was just going to say, for people who have just heard this interview and really want to see some of your work, what's your website?
So it's just my name, Brenda Berkman, artworks, plural, all in one, at .com. And, yeah, so you can go and look at stuff, or you can go on to the St. Olaf College website, and there's a lot there about the upcoming exhibit of 36 Views, and also there's links on that to you know, various things having to do. There was a little video that we made when we showed 36 Views over in the courthouse where I won my lawsuit in Brooklyn. So that was particularly satisfying because, you know, here I was back as an artist. Hmm. When I was in court, I was a lawyer. And then I was a firefighter. And, yeah, none of them have anything to do with the others. But everything works together, right?
I was about to say, but somehow they all work together.
Nothing's ever wasted. You know, if I could tell kids, don't think that, you know, you're never going to use this. It's not true. At some point in your life, you know, it's very likely it's something you thought was going to be totally useless is going to come into play.
Wise words.
Study hard.
My guest has been artist, first responder, and former FDNY captain Brenda Berkman. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Allison, it's been great. You stay safe and enjoy the beautiful day outside.
A new documentary, Blood Brothers, Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, tells the story of the often underappreciated and tumultuous relationship between two civil rights leaders. Director Marcus A. Clark joins us next to discuss his new film. This is All of It.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.